Welcome back to Dialed In, and welcome to Jack's Garage. And in Jack's Garage tonight, Matt Kenseth, the driver of the number 6 Performance Plus Ford Fusion for Roush Fenway Racing. Performance Plus will make its debut as the primary partner for Matt this weekend here at Kentucky Speedway, the premium motor oil brand, which is the official motor oil of Roush Fenway Racing, and helps power all of the team's engines, will also serve as Kenseth's primary partner on the number 6 Ford later this season at Richmond, September 22nd. And Matt Kenseth, who's on the hotline, makes his 8th Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series start here at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. In 7 career starts, he has 1 win, 3 top 5, and 6 top 10 finishes. We're glad to have you back, Matt. What are you thinking as you prepare to come to Kentucky and get back in that Roush Fenway car?
I'm just the track. Seeing hopefully some improvements from last time I was in the car. It's been a few weeks, so just really looking forward to getting there and kind of getting started and see where we're at.
Well, you won the 2013 race here at Kentucky after leading, I think, like 38 total laps, including the final 24. 17th last season, your only non-top 10 result at Kentucky. What is it about Kentucky, and what do you recall about that 2013 win, leading all those laps?
Yeah, last year we ran okay and kind of got knocked out of the way there then. But, 2013 was just, we had a good car, but Jason just made a great call and, got us out front there then and were able to hang on. So the track's changed a lot since then. They faved it a couple times, since then. So it's changed a lot, but it's a great track. I think it's always a good show when you come there and, one that I always look forward to.
How do you feel out of track when there have been changes like that, when you've been in and out of the car and you've been in a different car and you come back to Roush? I know how the engineers do it. I know how the crew chief talks about it. How does a driver re-feel out the track?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. It's a hard one to answer. You just kind of get on the track and get going and see where it's at and just, start adjusting from there.
You make it sound easy, Matt. Like any of us could do it, right?
Well, it's not easy, but it's just, you're driving in a circle as fast as you can. So you just get out and you just try to get up to speed and try to get a feel for what you have for balance and grip level and try to give your team the best feedback you can and hopefully they can keep making it better for you.
Well, you have been watching, even though you haven't been in the car, and you're now coming back to the car. So what have you been thinking about what you have been seeing? And, we talk a lot. It's really hard to try to digest what you're all learning at Roush Fenway Racing. You can't do it moment by moment and look at people's finishes and then compare them to other people's finishes. How do you evaluate where Roush Fenway is at and what you've been able to contribute?
Well, I think if you get a big enough sample size that the numbers don't necessarily lie. So far, unfortunately, I feel like I haven't really been able to contribute very much, if anything. So, it's a work in progress. I feel like there's some improvements that we've made. I feel like there's a lot of improvements we need to make. Some things are not certainly going to be, instant fixes. I think there's some things we can do that'll probably pay off, more like next year and on down the road. So, I feel like that we have been making some improvements. You don't really see them all in the performance of the cars immediately or really even the finishes, but I think we've definitely been making some improvements. And one thing, everybody's been working on it really, really hard, trying to figure out what we can do better and, how to keep moving forward.
Right, because the way I look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that even if what the other drivers had been saying is validified by you, that's progress, right? If somebody comes in and says this, 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 and this that you said was right, that needs to be worked on. Even if that's what you contribute initially, that's still progress, sort of, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think whenever you're behind, you try to eliminate as many, factors as you can, So I think that me coming there was just another one of those things just to try to evaluate, where they're at for, drivers and feel and get somebody's different opinion and kind of see what they think. So I think it's trying to eliminate things that aren't a problem. For instance, we know engines aren't a problem because all the Fords are running really good. We know it's not a manufacturer problem because there's other ones running really good. So those are the boxes you start to check, you're like, okay, well, we can't blame it on that and worry about that. We need to work on the next thing. And so I think it's just, you just keep going through everything. You try to figure out where your biggest problems are, your biggest deficiencies are, and, you know, work the hardest in that area. You have to work in every area, but you try to figure out where your biggest problem is, you know, and work the hardest on that, and hopefully you can start moving forward.
I want to also ask about, when you think about Kentucky, what makes this track tough? What makes it tough to race here at Kentucky? It's just, there's a lot of character in this track, and people come here and it's a night race, and people don't have a lot of time to try to figure things out. If you're wrong, you better get up on it and fix it early. You got to be ready when you unload. I also, the side of the driver, looking at a track with character like this.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think with Kentucky is the ends of the racetrack are a lot different. Turn three is really, really, really flat, really tight radius. That's a very difficult corner. I think if you can get the first half of turn three and four right, you know, typically you'll be decent in the rest of the track. So I feel like that's always the key to being able to run good there, is to be able to get, you know, turned early in three and be able to keep it on the bottom and get off that corner fast. So that's kind of, you work on everything, but that's always seems to be the biggest trouble spot.
Well, let's talk about Daytona and what you saw at Daytona. I'd love your observations of the race at Daytona, and specifically blocking and your thoughts on blocking. We've been talking about it for days. I'd like Matt Kenseth's own personal view on that and how you ran it in your career.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really notice. I mean, I watched a lot of the race. I didn't feel like the two biggest wrecks were really caused from blocking. It was from another car running into another car, and the car he ran into was in the front of the pack both times. So that's what those wrecks were from. I didn't really see that being, you know, necessarily from blocking. So yeah, Daytona was certainly a wreck fest. I know it's not enjoyable to be part of that when you're getting wrecked all the time, and really I don't think it was that much fun to watch everybody wreck either, to be honest with you. So Chicago, on the other hand, was a great race. Super happy they did not do the restrictor plates that everybody debated and media and everybody told them that they should do, because I don't think you can have a better race than that. That's what racing is all about right there. It just doesn't get any better than that. So I don't think that necessarily the rules, you know, are a problem at the mile and a half racetracks. I mean, that was one for the ages. So that was really fun to watch, you know, and Daytona is just Daytona. Super speedway racing has always been a debate for as long as I've been doing it. As long as there's been restrictor plates, there's always been debates every year about the big wrecks and, you know, how bad it is to do it and all that. I mean, that's just never changed. You're always going to have that kind of debate when you're doing that kind of racing.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because you're right, talking about whether the blocking caused the wrecks and whatnot, but everybody's still debating blocking. Oh, he blocked me, or, you know, that caused this and that, even if it wasn't the particular wreck. Have you been a guy who feels like that's just part of it? You can't go overboard, but that's part of it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that's something you have to go by a case-by-case basis. Everything is everybody's going to define that differently, and everybody's going to look at every situation differently. So that's hard for me to say. I don't know a specific instance that we're necessarily talking about. I mean, I think there's a time and place for everything, and certainly people can get carried away doing it, for sure. And whenever you're the one throwing that block, you know that there's always a chance of paying for that. Somebody not letting off the gas, and that's a chance you have to take. And unfortunately, when you're at a super speedway and it happens, you also have a good chance of wiping out a bunch of other ones.
Right. And what's the balance, because I have a couple other quick questions on Daytona, love chatting with you, between crashing and, you know, the fans get what they want, and like crashing and crashing and crashing. From a perspective of a driver who was in the sport, now watched it, and returns back to the car, what's the perfect mix in your mind of not having it be too much?
Well, I've never really enjoyed watching crashing, and I'm a big race fan. I started off being a race fan way before I started being a race car driver. You know, I would say watching all the big wrecks at the plate races and all that stuff isn't really something that I look forward to, being the fan side of me, just sitting watching on TV. But everybody likes something different. You know, I was on my feet yelling at the end of Chicago like everybody else. I mean, I think that's what racing is really about. You know, getting in there and doing everything you can to try to get that win. And that's the kind of racing I more enjoy watching.
And what about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and his challenge that he had at Daytona and all of the different views on it and different analysts, guys in the booth, Ricky himself, you? I know he's a teammate, but are there days like that, or is that just somebody who wants it really, really bad?
You know, it's hard for me to comment on that as well. I haven't talked to Ricky this week. They've been busy testing, and you know, weren't at the shop yesterday and all that stuff. So he obviously had a an event filled night. Let's put it that way.
You know, I also want to ask you, and this is an incredible thing that happened last night. How about Ty Majeski? And he had what is a career move for him. Ty Majeski, who is a Roush Fenway Racing Development driver, won the Slinger Nationals last night. It's a huge super late model race that you know well. You won Slinger 2 years ago. And even for an elite driver such as yourself, the race at Slinger, the Nationals, huge. And so if you think about what this means for Ty Majeski, probably you can explain it. He dominated the 200-lap race. He set the fast time, started 12th, and he also won a super late model race at Madison, Wisconsin on Friday night. Love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, the Slinger Nationals is one of the bigger short track races really in the country. A lot of people have heard of it. It's a very unique fast racetrack. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Ty goes up there and wins. He's had a lot of success up in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest. I've raced late models against him a couple times. He does a really good job in those cars, so it doesn't surprise me. That's got to be fun for him to go out there and be able to run a couple races and to win them. I know it always builds confidence. It's different when you move south and you're just kind of getting started and you're not winning races at your current level and you're trying to get yourself established. So it's good for the confidence to go home and to get a couple wins like that.
Can you put in perspective what the Slinger Nationals mean and how hard it is to win there at Slinger in the Nationals? Because I don't know how many people have been to it. You've won that race. Can you kind of put that in perspective, Matt?
Well, I mean, it's changed a lot over the years, like a lot of racing has. But like I said, it's certainly one of the biggest short track races really in the country. You get a lot of different drivers that come up there for years and years and years. You'd always get different, you know, NASCAR stars to go up there and race against the locals, and the locals always run, you know, extremely well, you know, at that racetrack. So it's always been a fun race. I've been there many times as a fan before I started driving, and seen Bobby Allison race there, and Davey Allison, and Alan Quickie, and seen a lot of great race car drivers race up there. Mark Martin, Ted Musgrave, just you know, it's been a lot of great drivers go through there, and not only run the Slinger Nationals, but run a lot of races at that track.
And are you going to be racing any more races, you know, at the local short tracks or anything? Have you had any desire as we continue on here and you've gotten in the car for Roush Fenway? You want to do any more of that?
You know, it's just kind of a wait and see thing. I was contemplating maybe doing a few races, you know, this year, kind of before this deal came up at Roush Fenway. So right now I'm just trying to, you know, put my racing efforts and focus into, you know, trying to get the 6 and the 17 run a little bit better. Trying to get competitive and try to do the best job I can over there.
Since I chatted with you last, they added some races for you at Roush Fenway. Are you cranked up about that? Are you wanting to do more? I mean, are you still where you were at the last time we chatted?
You know, that's never really changed. They just didn't really announce those races until lately. So really, we haven't added any races. They just added added races they told you guys about. So that's always been, you know, on my schedule to run the 16 races that I'm running. You know, none of that's really changed. So that was a schedule kind of looked at ahead of time and looked like it was going to work for me and work for Trevor and his partners as well. So, you know, that hasn't really changed. It's kind of what we've been focused on, kind of knew what was ahead of us the whole time.
And that's what they told us, too. So I'm glad to hear you saying the same thing. And I agree. I trust what they tell us. But are you wanting to do more races, or is this pretty good for now until you figure out, you know, where they're at? Have you figured out where Roush is at, or are you still looking at that? You're still too still early to tell.
Yeah, we're working on it, Claire, is all I can really tell you. I mean, the schedule is going to stay the same. We agreed on that schedule, and we're both happy with it when we agreed on it, and none of that's changed. We certainly want to give Trevor the chance to run the rest of the races that are on his schedule, and you know, I'm looking forward to running the ones that are on mine. So I think you know, for us three drivers that are in there, we're all working on as hard as we can and try to dissect what we can do better as drivers, what we can do better, you know, from the team aspect, how we can build faster race cars. We're always looking at everything and we're always working on everything. It's just, you know, nothing happens overnight in this sport. You know, it takes a while to get things, you know, to move and to get improvements that, you know, you guys and the fans and everybody can see that's big enough where you guys notice it, you know. So, you know, we're working on it and I feel like we're making, you know, some gains here and there.
And anything in the future is way in the future to you, right? You're just working on it right now in your current schedule. Is that right? That's what I'm reading out of it.
Yeah, I can tell you really want me to say something different about the schedule. That's the fourth time you've asked me. But, yeah, the schedule's what it is for this year. We haven't made any concrete plans for next year yet. We're just really trying to keep everything where it's at for 2018, trying to get this thing headed in the right direction, and we'll kind of address the rest of that down the road.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I got it right. Okay, so the last thing is I'd like to end talking about Kentucky. Are you excited to get back in the car? Because it must be really fun to be able to jump back in it and think about it and kind of roll into Kentucky, having been out of the car and now get to come back into it. Are you cranked up about a Saturday night race here, Matt Kenseth behind the wheel? Because we are.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it was a good 5-race stretch to get started and to kind of try to get a little feel of, you know, where we are and evaluate it just a little bit and then get that little bit of break. And then, you know, now we get another four race stretch with a couple weeks off again to kind of see where we're at. So I'm looking forward to getting in the car, seeing what kind of gains we made, if we made any, and, you know, try to keep moving forward, just try to keep getting a little bit better.
Well, listen, thanks for your patience. I want to make sure that I do you justice of what it is when you return here at Kentucky, and everybody's looking forward to it. They love it. You behind the wheel. They like Trevor behind the wheel. When you come back, it's an opportunity for your fans to get excited about it. Can't wait to see what you're able to do this weekend here at Kentucky. Thank you so much for coming tonight onto Jack's Garage. Really appreciate it, man.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me, Claire. And, hopefully we'll be able to get a good result this weekend and, you know, kind of get it rolling.